Let me join Rich in thanking all of you also for coming today to visit with us. The open house is an opportunity for us to show you the heights, but it really is intended for you to understand whether the Heights is the right choice for your son. There are many schools in the area, and where your son goes to school is one of the most important decisions you're going to make. The way that we see you visiting the Heights is we see you as looking to understand whether you want to partner with us or the Heights partner with you in the education of your sons. And a partnership is a relationship in which both parties agree as to the purpose and the mission of that gathering. So you would want to bring your son here if you believe that our mission and our vision for your son is exactly what you want. Because the responsibility for the education of your son remains with you, no matter where he goes to school. At the end of your days, when you go to meet the Creator, He will ask you what you did to make sure that your son was well educated. And you will not be able to dodge that question. And God willing, you'll be able to answer it with a lot of confidence and say, this is what I did through my whole life, because I never stopped educating my boy. And we, the Heights, would partner with you so that you can accomplish your mission. So what I want to do in a few minutes today is to explain the Heights mission and the Heights vision. And the difference is this. The mission is the point of the school. This is why we exist. This is what we intend to do. And the vision is how we view our alumni to be. A year after they graduate, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years after they graduate. That's the vision. That's what we're aiming for. So first, let me talk about the mission of the school. The mission of the Heights is to help you parents educate your sons in their physical, intellectual, moral, and spiritual growth. Those four areas. So let me go through all four of them and explain how we plan to help you with each one of those. First, physical growth. We'll have physical education, 3rd through 8th. Beginning in 6th grade, your son will be able to participate, representing the Heights, playing against, competing against other teams. In high school, instead of physical education, he will have to sign for at least one team to represent the Heights. In a lot of the sports, he'll play in the WCAC. In other sports, which the WC doesn't have, will be in other leagues or independent. But here's the point of athletics, of growth physical growth. First is the point of athletics is to play for fun. If you're not enjoying the sport that you play, you probably shouldn't be playing it, right? It's not a job. You're not coming to the Heights to play a sport. Once you're at the Heights, we hope that you play sports. And I sure hope that you're playing well and that you improve and that you represent the school well. But it should be fun. It's very important for us men to enjoy exercise. Another reason for it is to develop skill, in particular sports, strength, conditioning in all the sports, which is going to be very healthy when you're in the school. And hopefully it's going to set the right habits so that you remain healthy forever. That you know that taking care of your body is a good thing to do so that you can serve others long term. Another point of it is to grow in teamwork. And teamwork means that you work with other people, other peers, towards a common end. And that's very important because that which you do for a team is what you're going to do in a company later in life. And not only that you work with peers, but that you work under a coach that will teach you discipline and humility sometimes and motivation often. A more important goal of athletics is to grow in fortitude. There's no doubt that we live in a very affluent society. We live in a very comfortable society. If the air conditioning breaks down for 5 minutes, we think that we're going to suffer incredibly. If the internet is a little bit too slow, we think that is too much to bear. Right? We live in a very comfortable society. One of the reasons that sports is so important for your sons is for them to develop fortitude. And that means discipline. There are some things that you should do no matter how you feel about it. There are some things that you shouldn't do no matter how you feel about it. There are some things that you should do beyond the point you think you could reasonably do. If you have never done something that you didn't think you could do, you haven't stretched. You've lived too much in the comfort zone. And the sports is a way to tell you, yes, you're tired, but not tired enough. You can still do more. And yes, it seems that you're going to lose, but the game is not over yet. And you can still win in the last second if you keep trying. That you also master your emotions. That you don't get too down when you lose. That you don't get too cocky when you win. That you master your emotions. That you're just as good of a good winner as you're a good loser. That both times you are able to master how you feel about it. And finally, that you play for something greater than yourself. There was a former faculty member who played in a very competitive team in college, national champion, and played professionally football. And I remember asking him one time, what are your best athletic memories? And I was expecting something from the NFL. I was expecting something from his championship year in college. And he said, you know, frankly, my best athletic memories by far are all in high school. Because that is the last time that I played with my friends for a school that I liked in front of my family and friends. All my memories go back to that. After that, beginning with college, it was a job. Enjoyed it, but my memories are high school. Your sons, if they play for the Heights, will build great memories. And it's guaranteed that no matter what they do athletically thereafter, they will think back to those games in high school. And as most of us, the games will get better with every year after graduation. That's the way it works. Memory always serves us well. Intellectual growth. Well, we obviously have a curriculum. You can find that out online. You can look at all the course descriptions. We are a liberal arts school. There are many ways we could define that. Let me just say that that means that we are about learning the truth, learning reality, the way it is, understanding it. And by doing that, appreciating the beauty of reality, appreciating the goodness of reality. So that means that we teach how the world is created, how the world is, including humans. Humans are created in a specific way. We don't get to determine how we are or what we are. We are created in a particular way, and we learn that. We appreciate it. We embrace it. We love it. We're thankful because reality is the way it is. We not only learn to appreciate truth, we know it intellectually, but to appreciate it also means that we embrace it with our heart, that we love truth, and that we learn how to think. Thinking is not just a process. If it was just a process, thinking could be productive or useless, depending where the process ends. It's like saying that a trip is always good. Depends where the trip goes. If it reaches a destination, it is good. If it doesn't, you get lost. Sometimes we tend to think about thinking as just a process. And if there is no destination, the process doesn't have to be good. So you have to begin with the acceptance that there's such thing as objective truth. There is a destination for your thinking. Thinking is the process that gets you to that truth fastest and with greatest certainty. That's thinking. As G.K. Chesterton would say, thinking is connecting dots, and it stops when the dots are going to be connected. Thinking is both the process of connecting, but also the process of knowing what the right dots are, so we can connect them. To avoid the two extremes, one, the extreme of just telling the students what to think, and second, the extreme of telling the students that it doesn't matter what they think. It does matter. We also want the students to learn how to express their thoughts with clarity, with confidence, and with charity, so they can defend, present, protect the truth in an attractive way, so they can engage in conversations in a way that they know that a conversation is not about winning an argument. That's fairly easy. A conversation is about winning a heart, about convincing somebody about the truth. That's much harder to do, but that's the point of conversations. This intellectual education instills incredible professional confidence and preparedness. Will your sons be prepared for college? Absolutely. Will they be prepared for professional life? Absolutely they will. If they know how to think, if they believe in the truth, if they can express themselves clearly, they will be prepared. Third aspect, helping you help your sons grow morally and socially. So moral growth as how they should relate to others. Different from networking. Now, networking would be a process by which you try to understand how you can benefit from relating to other people. What we're talking about here is, what do your sons owe to other people? What do they owe to their classmates? What do they owe to people they meet in the street? What do they owe to their siblings, to you as parents? What is their moral obligation? And the virtue that they have to learn, that you teach at home, is courage. And courage, as C.S. Lewis would say, is not just a virtue. It's every virtue at its testing point. Your sons have to be courageous. That means that your sons have to be honest when being dishonest would get them something short-term, and it would be tempting. That your sons have to be faithful when betraying an idea or a person would get them something short-term. That your sons have to be loving when loving actually hurts. That's courage. That's the virtue that they have to develop morally. And that is not just an intellectual pursuit. It's not just a faculty member is standing in front of your sons and saying you have to be courageous. It's you at home helping them to be courageous every day of their lives. And it's we at the Heights partnering with you and helping you help your sons be courageous every day that they are here at the school. So that they will be loyal now to you, to their siblings, to their friends, but that in the future they will be loyal to their wives for life. They'll be loyal to their children no matter what they do. That if they pursue a celibate vocation, that they're loyal to that vocation. That they're faithful to God regardless of what happens in their lives. That they are charitable. That they love people in their lives, no matter what the price is. And that they develop self-mastery, control over their passions, their emotions, their desires. Your sons, I'm sorry to say, but this is no news, will be, they already are, exposed to evil. Your sons will be exposed to evil. The Heights is not a bubble. We are not going to be able to protect your sons against every evil in the world, in our culture. Frankly, you don't want the Heights to be a bubble. You want it to be what it is. It's a filter. Which means that is going to minimize the evil your sons are exposed to. More importantly, that when they're exposed to that evil, the Heights is going to give you a set of people in your son's life who believe the same things that you believe, and who are going to walk your son through that evil by speaking the same language that you speak. And when two groups of people, your family and his school, speak the same language, that's more than twice as effective. It's overwhelmingly powerful, because your son will realize this is really the way it ought to be. It's not just my parents speaking, but there's other people believe the same thing. And then that exposure to evil will actually be an opportunity to grow, so that in the future, when they don't have the Heights and when they're not living at home, on their own, they can be witnessing evil and know what to do about it and how to get past it. And the way they're going to get past it is not going to be by fighting evil only, but by loving the good so much and making it so attractive to others that they will be protected from the evil, and they will offer protection to many others through that exposition of the good. And fourthly, the spiritual component. The image of God that your sons develop while they're in the school matters. For some, God may be a tyrant in the sky. For others, may be a disappointed inventor whose invention went wrong. For others, maybe a benign grandfather who never passes judgment on the grandchildren no matter what they do. I would say all those images are wrong. The image of God that your sons have, should have, is God as a loving father. A loving father who is paying close attention to his children, who loves his children more than anything else in the world, who will correct his children, not because he wants them to act in a particular way, but because he wants to act wants them to act in a way that they're going to be happy, which is what we were created for. That's the image. To help your sons attain that image, we have a chapel. It is the one room in the school where we spend most money and dedicate most attention. Everything else in the school will come and go. In 200 years from now, I can't tell you what classrooms will look like, or a library, or a science lab, or a gym, or a music room. But I can tell you exactly what a chapel is going to look like 200 years from now. And it's going to look exactly the same way it does now, because in it resides a permanent being who never changes. That's the most important, by far, room in the whole school. Your son will have the chance to partake of the sacraments there. Mass every day, never mandatory, always available. Confession every day, obviously never mandatory, always available. We are thankful to have the oversight and the help of Opus Dei, a Catholic organization, with sacramental life, with a chaplain who is dedicated to the students here, with care for the religion curriculum that we have. Religion is a required class for Catholics, an elective for non-Catholics. You don't have to be Catholic to be a Heights student. About 15% of our students are not Catholic. But you should know, when you apply to the Heights, that we really believe in what the Catholic Church teaches. And we try to live according to that doctrine and those precepts. We believe in it. And your son will be exposed to that. So how are we going to do this? That's the big question, right? It all sounds great, right? Physical growth, intellectual, moral, spiritual. How are we going to do it? Well, first, by having a curriculum and extracurricular activities, formal programs, they're designed to help your sons grow in all four aspects. Beyond that, and much more importantly, it's going to happen through the faculty. Faculty members here at the Heights are all mission aligned. Nobody is working here because of the retirement package. No one is working here because of the lunch program. No one is working here because of any of those things. We're working here because we believe that this is the most important thing that I can do with my life professionally. That if God gave me another life, the first thing I would do is reapply to work at the Heights, because I believe in it. Faculty are mission aligned, and that matters because education is not a program. You can look at the program online, but education is not that. Education is transferring a culture. Education is teaching your sons what matters and what doesn't matter. What does it mean to be good, and what does it mean to be deficient? Why should we be happy? What makes us happy? That's an education. And that you cannot do through a formal program. You do through people who believe in the same things that we all believe. Specifically, we have a mentoring program. Your son will have a mentor, a faculty member, who will be specially taking care of him. Maybe his homeroom teacher in 3rd through 6th, his core teacher in 7th through 9th, another faculty member for the last 3 years of high school. That mentor will be your go-to faculty member as parents for any questions you may have beyond just a specific class. And finally, you also have a peer group. A peer group can be very formational. I was talking to a student recently who has totally changed his approach to academics, doing much better now. He went from slacking a lot to being extremely disciplined and dedicated. And I asked him, what was the turning point? And frankly, part of me was hoping that he would say, well, this faculty member, that faculty member, you know, that my mentor. And he said, it was my friend. And I was talking with him, and he told me, you know, I used to slack in the school too, and now I'm doing much better, and life is so much better when you do that. So I started working hard. Go, is that a program? Not really. It's a friendship. But if you look around the room and you say, you know, I would like my son to be with these other families. That's one of the things that the school does, is puts your son in contact with sons from families that you enjoy yourself. Any boy can do the dumbest things. Any boy can do the most impressive, admirable things as well. It takes parental dedication and a school that partners with you. So what is our vision? I'll give you two images for that vision. One that is represented in a painting in my office of a young man who's going to be knighted in the morning. And he's kneeling down in front of the altar with all his weapons. And that is an image for your son upon graduation. Don't bring your son to the Heights because you want him to be safe from the bad influence in the world. Don't bring him for that, because we're not interested in that. We could be more protective than other schools, but that's not what we do best. That's not a good use of the Heights. Bring your son here if you want him to be powerful, if you want him to be a protector. If you think about your son in the future and you say, I want him to be the kind of guy who's going to stand up to bad behavior in the workplace. I want him to be the kind of guy who's going to be an example to other families. I want him to be the kind of guy who's going to be faithful to God when he's the father of a family, and who's going to evangelize others. I want him to be that man. If that's what you want, that's somebody I can get excited about. Somebody who's going to be a protector. Has to be physically strong. Has to be intellectually prepared. Has to be morally courageous. And is spiritually faithful and loving. And the second image, very much related to this one, comes from a book that I know everyone here has read, and I can't stop talking about it very often. And many of you visiting will also have read, from C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And the image to have is the one when the four children go to this mythical land that is totally being frozen by the evil witch, and they're being given a tour by a talking beaver. Because if it is a mythical land, beavers should talk, I suppose. And they're being given a tour by this talking beaver who tells him that everything is going to be okay. Everything will be restored to its original beauty once Aslan comes. And the children ask, who is Aslan? And the beaver says, Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, one of the children. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. That's the image. You don't want a nice boy. Our world does not need nice boys. Our world needs good men who are courageous. That's what we want. So to conclude, if there is anything that I've said that you have a question about, please come and ask. Ask me, as Rich Moss, Brendan, Anthony, Michelle, any of the faculty, any of the tour givers. Ask us for any clarification. If there is anything that I've said, or the whole body of it, that you disagree with, that you think this is crazy, this is not what I'm looking for, please do not apply. Save yourself trouble. Save us trouble. This is not the place for you if you disagree. Walk away. No harm. If what I said resonates, if you say, that's what I want for my son, then I don't think you're going to find a better place. And we'd love to partner with you, and I hope it works out. Thank you for visiting today. I wish I could meet each one of you individually. It may be impossible, but at some point this year, I hope that I can. Thank you for visiting.